Amen. Amen. Say hello to somebody this morning. Did you take your seat? Welcome somebody into church today. We're happy that you are here with us this morning at Foundation Church. I want to give you just a little bit of an insight of what we have going on this Christmas season. So it is December. Finally, it is here. Christmas is just around the corner. And we know that during this time of year, there are all sorts of things happening, all sorts of things that you are doing as a family and even preparing for. But during this season, our culture really communicates one thing pretty heavily. What can you do for yourself or for your family this year as you prepare for gifts or you prepare for the season? We want to turn our hearts and our minds a little bit outward today. And over the next few weeks, to think about our community, to think about our the world, to think about other ministries besides our own and how we can serve and love them this year. And so we got a couple things we want to share with you. Number one, we have continued to be a partner with Star Elementary. It's a school about 20 minutes away, and we are consistently serving them by providing a backpack program or food for their backpack program. I apologize. Well, this Christmas, we're also helping, I believe there's about 14 or 15 kids, get a new pair of shoes and a new jacket for this Christmas season. And so we're going to have them wrapped up. They're going to be really nice. But one way that you can participate is by actually purchasing or going outside, I apologize, after service, picking up a little card with some kids' info on it and going over the next couple weeks and purchasing for that child. We're going to have a women's night wrapping party on the 15th where all of those gifts will be packaged up and wrapped to be sent home for those kids over the holidays. So we're really excited about that. But then also, we're partnering with other organizations this year and serving them financially through a year-end offering act of generosity. And so we believe that the Lord has blessed us so much this past year, but that we want to really turn our hearts outward to think about how can we financially bless other organizations this Christmas. I want to share a couple of those with you. One of them is David and Deborah Markey. They're in the country of Georgia, Tbilisi or something of that nature. That's my Carter County version of that word. And they are just planting a church, seeing the gospel go out in their church service. There's over 20 different languages that can be spoken. A little bit different than Carter County, right? 20 different languages. They're ministering to young adults in a great way, and they also have a powerful kids ministry that's moving and working. But they have very different needs than what we have, and we have been partnering with them last year. We want to continue to partner with them this year to be a real blessing to them and to their ministry. There's another ministry. It's called Feed the Crave. It's out of Costa Rica where they are. It's a church planting movement of discipleship where they are raising up new churches. It started with one. And this organization, through coaching and help, has seen that one church, are you ready for it? Go to 300 different churches. That's a move of God. That's right. Come on, give God some praise for that. We've been able to help them financially once before, but we are hoping that this Christmas we can really be a blessing to them. And then locally, we want to continue to support the Star Backpack Program into 2025. So that will also be one way to help there. But these are all ways of which you and your family can go home today. Or if you came prepared, ready to give today, pray about what the Lord would have you and your family give this Christmas season to our year-end offering. Everything that we receive will be going right back out the door. You can give online or through the envelope in your seat. And we're going to have it running for the next 3 weeks. Each week, you're going to get to hear a story of somebody that's connected directly to this ministry. And so we're really, really thankful for that. But it is live and ready and open today. I want to continue to challenge you that maybe today, all you have is a dollar to donate. You know who Jesus praised more than any, it was the widow, right, who gave the widow's mite. Because it said that she gave all that she had. Think about how powerful that is. Even when others were casting in generously. So it doesn't matter the amount. Jesus will always look at the heart of which we are loving and serving others through what he has blessed us with. That's our call today. Let us pray over our year-end offering. We'll do this every single week. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us into your house. Lord, you have blessed us beyond measure. Lord, you have given so much to us that we are stewards of, Lord. And as we see our culture communicating, what can we get? What can we buy? What can we fill our homes with? Lord, may we think outwardly and we think about others. Lord, how can we love your kingdom more this Christmas? How can we serve others more this Christmas? How can we make sure that children are clothed this Christmas? How can we make sure ministries are thriving this Christmas in your name, Lord? How do we continue to communicate the gospel all across this world, Lord? We want to be a blessing, Lord, because you have so blessed us. Lord, may you just work in our hearts. May it never be about a percentage or an amount, but always be connected to our heart's posture to be generous with all that you have given us. Lord, bless it. In Jesus' sweet name we pray, amen, amen. Aaron, I want to invite you to come on up here. You sit close enough to the front row, you're going to be a volunteer at some point. The Lord already knew. Everybody say, hey, Aaron. Two Aarons in one church. You are blessed today. You are blessed. So we've been in this series, but talking about treasures. But here's what we have continually found to be true, is that in your life, you will have worries. In your life, you're going to have cares. You're going to have concerns. And here's what I know, is that worry in my life is that it has felt like a weight. It's like a weight, something you carry. Worry is oftentimes something that will impact how you feel, how much energy you have, how much joy you have. You can feel worry. You woke up today, worry automatically began to be a weight on you. Today, I want to share with you three different ways that worry weighs us down. Now, I'm going to have Aaron. Aaron, if you don't care, put on this backpack for us. See, many of us, we carry the weight, number one, of the past with us. Today you woke up and you were already thinking about yesterday and the many, many days before that. It could be regrets. It could be failures. It could be the sins that you have carried, or it could be the anxieties or the trauma that you have experienced. Whatever it may be, there is something of the past that you're holding on to. And you're not only holding on to it, you're carrying it. Just like this. Imagine this represents all that is your past. And you've just been walking into this place today with... Oh, man. It's the truth with many of us. That's all that we care. But you're carrying it. You came in today carrying that weight of the past with you. It's heavy. You can feel a little heavy today, right? But then you don't just have the past that oftentimes we worry about. Some of you in here are like the control freaks. I see you. It's the future. You came in today already worrying about tomorrow, and it's right there with you. You're caring about, you're worrying about what could be. You're worrying about the future. You're worrying about all of the possibilities. You're worrying about tomorrow. And you're not just worrying about it, you're holding on to all of the possibilities of what could be. This could be fears as well. And you carry it. Gets a little heavier, doesn't it? A little heavier. So you come with worries of the past. You come with worries of tomorrow. But there's a third thing that we do. There's also today. Some of you today, you've already had a bad day. It's only 11 o'clock. It's already been a bad day. And so you come in today thinking about the difficulties ahead for today. You come in today already with a sense of hopelessness, a sense of doubt, whatever it may be. But there is the weight that we would call today. And this is what you all look like. This is what you came in today maybe experiencing. The weightiness of worry on your life. Well, today we want to give you hope. This isn't what Jesus intended for our lives. Jesus did not intend for us to carry the weight of yesterday. He did not intend for us to be worrying over what may be tomorrow. He just says that all you have is today. And sufficient for today is its trouble. Today, how many of you want to be a little lighter when you leave today? Today, how many of you want to feel a little freer today of all of these things that have been holding you down? Me too. If you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 6. Thank you, Aaron. You'll be coming back up again at the end. Matthew chapter 6, there's this huge section there where it says, Jesus says, do not worry. And it seems like an impossibility, even unrealistic. But here's what we want to communicate today. What if there was a way for you to be lighter, to live lighter, to live freer with more purpose? What would it feel like to let go of the unnecessary weight that you're carrying? How much lighter could life be? You see, many of us will search for peace in all sorts of different places. We will search for that freedom, for that lightheartedness in all sorts of different places. For me, it's been like self-help books. I love reading. I love reading nonfiction in particular. And there is a nonfiction book on anything and everything that you've been dealing with or have dealt with. There has been written about something. And you'll look to books to be that. You'll look to Instagram and TikTok reels and videos to be that sense of encouragement, to provide a little bit of answers or peace. Bottom line is, we look at all sorts of different places and things to bring us peace. Now, many of us, though, you came in here with that backpack full of all of the weights, and you're like, I'm just getting stronger. I'm going to finally, one day, I'm going to power through this. Like, this ain't going to take me down. No matter if you keep adding brick after brick, there's many of us here in this room that's like, I have the ability to power through no matter what comes at us. The simple truth today is that Jesus offers a radically different solution to the weight of worry in our life. To trust in God's care for today and let go of the rest. Not ignoring the future or the problems that you maybe have or could have or experiencing in the past, but finding freedom from what has been and what we can't control. That's what I want to offer you today. Freeing ourselves to serve God, love others, and live out our faith in meaningful ways. Matthew chapter 6, he ends this dialogue on anxiousness and worry. He says this, therefore, do not be anxious, do not be concerned, do not be worried, do not be in turmoil about what? Tomorrow. Why? For tomorrow will worry for itself. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. And he gives this truth. He says, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I love how Jesus he's been speaking what seems like unrealistic language. Do not worry. But then he says, hey, but you will have trouble. And there will be things in your life that are saying, this seems like something worthy of worry. But it's not. That's not what he's leading us into. Jesus has given us this invitation of a direction of our hearts and lives of what worry should be or what worry should look like in our life. Why does this matter so much for us? Well, I got three different reasons why. Spiritually, worry and regret will keep us from trusting God and experiencing His peace. Tim Keller gives us this line that really has been hitting me hard this week. Worry is not believing God will get it right. You get that point? Worrying is not believing that God will get it right. Bitterness that you have right now in your life towards God is believing that God got it wrong. That's how we feel. That's how we feel today. We are worried because we have an idea of what the future may be or what should be. And we're struggling to believe that God will get it right. And then you came in bitter today because of your situation or your past or your experiences, and you believe that God has got it wrong. Listen, at the root of our life spiritually, worry is simply a reflection of what you believe to be true about God. That is it. That is it. At its root, what you believe about God will then connect to your worry. Secondly, emotionally. Anxiety wrecks us emotionally. Anxiety over yesterday and tomorrow, what does it ultimately do? It robs us of the joy of what God is doing today. Your emotional messes. It's like we're all chained with the emotional turmoil of what has been or what could be. I want you to imagine like chains. It's like chains just pulling us down. Not just a backpack full of bricks, but chains that literally almost have us anchored. The harder you try, the stronger they get. That's almost what it feels like. But then even relationally, yesterday and tomorrow, what will it do? It will lead us to neglect and love the people that's around us today. To do what God has in store for us today. To neglect the people and opportunities in front of us. John Maxwell says this. He says, today is the only time we have. That's why today matters. He also says, yesterday, you know when it ended? Last night. All you have is today. Culturally speaking, this is not what we oftentimes talk about. All advertising, branding, communication is never about today. It's always about what could be, both bright and bad. Protection and security. All that you see with your money, finances, your plans are rarely consumed by today. Culture is constantly wanting us to look to our future. There's a hustle culture to like make your future, to find your joy, to experience your calling, to plan ahead. But we miss the beauty of today by attaining or chasing after what's next. Parents know this all too well. I've got a 7-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 1-year-old, and everybody that talks to me says, Aaron, it goes so fast. Who's heard that? Who's like, that's so true? It all goes so fast. And I begin to wonder, like, why is it the case? Well, I don't know about you, but I get sick and tired of changing diapers sometimes. And I'm like, man, I can't wait for them to get out of diapers. Well, there goes that whole season of their life. Then I can't wait for them to be more independent. Then I can't wait for them to drive themselves. And then you get to the point where I can't wait till they get out of my house. And then you look back and you're just like, oh my gosh, we finally got to the place I've hoped for and I've cast aside all that was or all that could have been. Today is powerful. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. But worry about today. Trust in today or focus on today. Jesus flips the script and offers a better way of life. Living fully and purposely for today. You want peace in your life? Live fully and purposely for what? Today. Now, there's three big truths that I've experienced in my life, and we see it throughout the Gospels, is that, number one, we over-exaggerate yesterday. Number two, we overestimate tomorrow. And then number three, we underestimate today. Now let's look a little bit at your past. Your past, we oftentimes give way too much weight to our past. For many, it starts with regrets, what could have been. That's our past. That's what may eat you alive at night. It also then goes to not just your regrets, but then it also goes to your past mistakes. Regrets and mistakes may be different. Mistakes are the acts that you have actively committed that you wish you could take back. The mistakes will eat you alive. The past sins, the past people that you have hurt, they will all begin to just make you feel very inadequate. The opposite is true, your successes. Some of you maybe had more success 10 years ago than you're experiencing today. You were more joyful 10 years ago than you are today. You will even connect your past successes as something that consumes your heart and mind. But then there's another one that I don't want to skim over. Is that there's your experiences of the past. There's a word, it's called trauma. It's really interesting. Has a lot of language and a lot of weight, to use that word again, in our culture right now. This is something brand new that I think is really powerful and brand new in the communication that we have. Trauma is something that has happened in your past that has impacted who you are today. And not only impacted who you are, but impacted how you see the world today. Some of you have experienced abuse that isn't even safe to open up and talk about, really. You've experienced situations in your past from a loved one, from a family member, from a church that has brought deep pain and hurt into your life today. The Body Keeps Score is a really interesting book that just shares with us the weight that trauma has in our life. There's a quote I want to share with you that comes from this book. It says, we have learned that trauma is not just an event that took place sometime in the past. It is also the imprint left by that experience on the mind, brain, and body. It's like you were walking on the sand. You know, you walk on the sand, what's always behind you is the imprints of that sand. He's saying that the experiences that you have right now have been imprinted into your brain, into your mind, and even into your body. And what that is doing now is that trauma results in a fundamental reorganization of the way the mind and brain manage perceptions. The body has not forgotten what has done to you or what has been done to you. It is an area of which seems, so daunting to even talk about and discuss, but yet has to be addressed. You see, Jesus understands all that you hold in your past. But in walking that out, what we find throughout the gospel is that we are over-exaggerating our past for three reasons. Number one, Jesus has forgiven us. Those today that are carrying their past sins and mistakes, listen, you need to know that through faith in Him, that your sins can be forgiven. For those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus, your sins have been forgiven. Amen. These are not things of which you to weigh you down or hold you back. They are forgiven. Psalms 103:12 says that our sins are as far as what? The east is from the west. They are gone. They are gone. They are not things of which we carry anymore, because what we believe is that Jesus carried them where? On the cross. Not ever meant for you to hold ever again. See, your sins have been forgiven. You have mistakes of the past. We get it. You have great failures of the past, and you've hurt a lot of people. Yes, it is true. But Jesus has removed the stain of sin, the stain of our mistakes, no matter how far you have fallen or how deep the mistakes has that you have made. They are no longer yours to carry. Isaiah 61:1 speaks more into the freedom that Jesus has given us. This is a prophetic word from the past for us in the future. And it speaks this truth. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me." This prophecy is pointing to Jesus to bring what? Good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. That's what I feel sin does to so many of you and to me. And the opening of the prison to all those who have been bound. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of Jesus. Why do we still stay in this belief that we have not been forgiven? What is it right now that you're holding on to? Or what is it you're believing right now that's keeping you gripped by your past sins and failures? You see, it is the belief that I had to walk through, that I earned my salvation, that my salvation was based on how good of a Christian that I was. Like that Jesus could just take it back. That's what I believed. Many of you have believed the same thing. But when I started to learn about grace, what does it say? It is by God's grace you have been what? Saved. It is by His grace and His mercy that all those who believe in Him shall be saved or shall be set free. Not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done. Come on now, is that not good news for each and every single one of us? Because if it was up to me, I ain't making it. I ain't making it. We've been forgiven. Your sins have been set free. They don't carry the weight that they have to. Allow them to be free. Don't allow them. You've been forgiven. But you've not only been forgiven, but Jesus is making you new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Because of Jesus, we are not defined by our past. We trust and believe that we are, I want you to hear this word, becoming. We are a new creation, and we are learning to walk in that new creation. I want you to imagine the 12 disciples, they said yes to these words, follow me, follow me. Jesus said the same thing, follow me, put your trust and hope in me. Here's what I know to be very true in my life and hopefully in yours, that is a process. Jesus is making us new. It is the process of becoming the person that Jesus has called us and created us to be. You aren't just immediately all desires, all things that you struggle with, gone in an instant. Rarely is that the case. Most of us come to the feet of Jesus and then walk away with a new sense of like, okay, what do I do with these doubts? What do I do with these struggles? Jesus walks with us through those things. He's making all things new, and he is forming us into the person that we are becoming, actively shaping you into the person that he has created you to be. And here's the good news. What he has started in you, he will bring to completion. He will bring to completion. Listen, your past doesn't have to define you. Your father doesn't have to define you, who you are. Your biological father doesn't have to be the one that defines who you are. Your addiction doesn't have to define who you are. Your abuse doesn't have to define who you are. Who now, in the name of Jesus, defines who you are in faith and trust? He does. He calls you his beloved. He calls you a son of the Father, son of the Creator, a daughter of the Creator. You are abundantly loved by him. So let go of yesterday and trust him with who you are becoming today. Now, that was yesterday, but we oftentimes overestimate tomorrow. Who's seen Inside Out 2? Where's the Inside Out 2, Pixar movie, right? Crazy cool. For all those that haven't seen it, Inside Out 2 is really a movie about the emotions that we have and we feel. And it follows this one girl who comes into her teenage years, and all the teenage parents know this to be true. There's this new emotion that begins to really come out. It's called anxiety. And they personify it in a really fun and cool way. But she begins to experience like large amounts of anxiety and sadness and real struggles that all of us go through. Well, there's a scene in this movie where they go to Imagination Station, and they go into this room, and anxiety is freaking out over all the things that are happening to this girl and all that could be. And here's what she says. She has them bring to the girl's imagination these things, every possible thing that could go wrong. Who lives there? Like, in every possible thing, it could go wrong, right? You are just freaked out about tomorrow, and you don't think about what could be. You're just thinking about all that could just be terrible. She continues on to bring to life every mistake that she could possibly make. Those are the two things. And then there's this emotion, it's called joy. Joy comes on the scene, and it's like, can never be sad, never be anxious. And so then joy, you know what she begins to draw in this imagination station? All the good things that could be. All the good things that could happen in the future. All of the hopes. So you see this balance between what could be, all of the mistakes, and what could be, all of the good. You know what Jesus says? Don't worry about it. Don't allow your imagination to run with what could be negative and what even could be hopeful. Don't allow those things to happen. Just be present today. Now, a little time out. I am very hopeful for a life one day with Jesus Christ. Like one day to be with him in all of eternity. I am hopeful for that. But once again, Jesus says, don't let that take from today. Don't let that take from today. There's a whole group of people that after Jesus had left, they stopped doing anything. They stopped working. They stopped contributing. They were literally just waiting on the Lord. And they're like, why are you just sitting here? Go and do. Go and serve. Go and love. Jesus says the same for us. Don't be consumed by the future. Here is another text that I want to share with you. Jesus' explicit communication is not to focus on tomorrow, but to focus on today. James chapter 4, verse 14, he speaks a little bit more into us. He says, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. Some of you just need to like underline that. Just make a big circle, underline it. you do not know what tomorrow will bring. Isn't that a bummer? Some of you are like, yeah. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. He says, what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Even then, it's like you're wishing for a future to come and then you just wish for your life away. So it's just a breath. It's just a mist. It says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this and do that. He says, as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Tim Keller, he gives us another just kind of gut punch on this topic. It says, it takes pride to be anxious. He says, and I'm not wise enough to know how my life should go. Most of us want to really step into controlling what tomorrow will be. And by stepping in and saying, I want to control what tomorrow will be, it's as if you're saying, I already know what's best for me and my family for tomorrow. That's all boasting, and that boasting is arrogance. And James condemns it because we do not know what tomorrow holds, and we do not know what the Lord may have for us tomorrow. And let us put aside all the beliefs that we know better. And simply trust God with tomorrow, because God, I believe, is already there. But thirdly, let's get to some good news here. So we overestimate tomorrow, but what about today? We underestimate today. There's a little children's book. It's called Alexander and the Terrible, No Good, or Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Hey, just have some fun. Who remembers that, being read that book in elementary school or by their parents, right? Alexander, what happens since the time he wakes up to the time he goes to bed? Bad things over and over and over and over again. And I believe this is the one he doesn't want to get out of bed, right? Continue on. Like he just is wallowing in it. And we do the same thing. Some of you literally woke up and you're like, today's already a terrible day. Or you have one bad thing happen to you and you're just like, man, today's a terrible day. And you've had terrible days in your past. Listen, we all do. We all have bad days. Here's a really fun thought for you, though. What would make today a good day? You already know what today makes a bad day. What today would have to happen for it at the end of the night to be like, that was a good day? You ever thought about that? What would it take? What would it be? Some of you know. But many of us, we don't think about it. We're so consumed by all the bad things that are happening around us, all the bad things that are happening in our day. Listen, sometimes they do fall apart, but even then, God just says, trust me. And many of us, as we underestimate today, will let the time slip. John Maxwell says that we recognize neither today's value nor its potential. And so what do we do with today? What does Jesus say for us today? Well, I believe he's John Wooden, the greatest basketball coach of all time, to help us see clearly, to make today your masterpiece. Make each and every day your masterpiece. That is the one thing that God has given you, is today, and he says that you can make it what you will. That you have within your power, within your control, to make the most, to make the best of each and every single day. You love this text, and I do too. Psalms 118:24 says this. This is the day that the Lord has what? Made. And I will what? I will rejoice and be glad in it. Some of you just need to start today just rejoicing. You already came in scowling, already mad. You just need to say right now, say, praise God. You may need that. That's right. That's for you. Rejoice. Praise God. Got breath in my lungs. I got another day to live. And I got God by my side. Like, praise God. But what's it look like to make each day a masterpiece? I think it's fairly simple. There's three things I want to bring to your mind real quickly. What does it look like to make each day a masterpiece? Well, let's look at what Jesus did. Jesus would either start his day or finish his day, if not both, with the Lord. You'd find him in a desolate place, spending time with the Father in prayer and in intercession. that what does it look like to make your day a masterpiece is when you encounter the creator of the universe, when you encounter the savior of the world named Jesus Christ each and every single day. You can do it by opening up your word or the Bible. You can do it through conversations with a friend, or you can do it by just simply saying, God, I want to see you today. And here's what I believe you will. That when you will seek for him, you will what? Find him. It's a simple truth. But today, how do you make it a masterpiece? Encounter him. Secondly, grow together. Life was never meant to be done alone. Life was never meant to be done in isolation. What do you do to make day a masterpiece is you surround yourself with people that love you, or you become a person of love for somebody else. And through that, you grow in relationship with one another. You grow in community with one another. That's how you make today a masterpiece. To the fathers, you make a masterpiece today by growing together with your wife. With your kids. Husbands, you make today a masterpiece by growing together with your wife. Like, that's how you make today a masterpiece. And then lastly, you always are looking in each and every single day of how can I love and serve somebody else? You want to get out of the weight of your worry? You know the quickest way to do that? Start serving somebody else. Start loving somebody else. Start shifting your mindset from what you need and your problems and start loving somebody. You want to make today a masterpiece? Serve someone today. And what can you do tomorrow? Well, tomorrow hasn't come yet, so don't worry about it. But for today, spend time with Jesus. Spend time with people. Grow together. And then serve others. Listen, I love talking about marriages so much. I'm going to come down to the stage. This is too intimate. Listen, marriages. Marriages, like, they're God's way. They're God's way. He has some that he has called to not be in a marriage. 100%. But he's definitely those that he has called to be in a marriage. Listen, you want to make your marriage a masterpiece? Like, you want to make your marriage something special? Like, each of you, encounter Jesus today. Find a way to spend time with him today. Like, make that the most important thing in your life today. And then all things will come from that. Spend time with your spouse. When? Today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come. But what do you have? Today. Today. Like, spend time with her. Spend time with him. And then lastly, the beauty of it all happens when you begin to be so selfless that you look to serve the other person. And the wives are like, I got a list of all the different ways. My father-in-law keeps talking about his calendar. He's got a calendar, but he serves. But that isn't just for the husband to serve the wives. That's also for the wives to serve the husband. It's a mutual bond of respect and beauty. And listen, God is going to do unbelievable things through your marriage. And the first thing he will do is he will impact those that you have, that he has blessed you with if you have children, but then he will also bless those other relationships that you have. The reason I believe so passionately about this is because we just feel like the marriage is the place of which the enemy will work the strongest and the hardest to try to disrupt you and break you up. But how do you make like your marriage today a masterpiece? Try it. Maybe I'm wrong. Do those three things. See what happens. See what happens. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. Just today. And I believe all of us have enough in us to love our spouse, to love that special person in our life enough today. Jesus calls us to take small, faithful acts today. And these small, faithful acts today will have impacts way into our future. Trusting that God cares for us more than we can imagine will lead to great peace into our lives. And what if that kind of peace today was possible for you? Well, we believe that it is. There's a key takeaway from all of today's message. Listen, God has forgiven your yesterday. He holds your tomorrow, and he calls you to trust him when? Today. And it's only through Jesus can we live free from regret, fear, and distraction is only through Jesus. It is possible only because He carried the ultimate burden for us. On the cross, He dealt with what? Our past failures. He secured our future, and He has gave us the power to live in hope for today. And that freedom isn't something that you or I earn. It is a gift that He offers to everyone who trusts in Him. You want peace in your life today? Put your faith and trust in Jesus and who He is. Surrender your worries to Him, and what you will see is peace will come into your life. There's an old hymn that I got to just have come to my mind from time whenever I was younger, and many of you are going to be able to bring this back to life. If you know it, sing it. I wish I could sing, but the Lord did not give me that gift at all. He says this, many things about tomorrow. Anybody know it? Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow. Gosh, you want to sing it so bad. For I know who what? Who holds my hand. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow. And who holds tomorrow, what does He do? He holds my hand. In closing, I want to bring Aaron back up. Aaron, we got to put this backpack back on, all right? One last time. One last time. That's my prayer for you today. One last time. Listen, three simple questions for today. Number one, what regret, what past mistake, what past failure do you need to release to the Lord today? Some of you may not be ready to take a brick out of your backpack to stop carrying all the weights, but Jesus is begging you to. What is it that you need to give to Him today? And as you give it to Him, listen, this is what you begin to find. He doesn't even hold on to it. He just puts it down, puts it to the side. How you feel, Aaron?
Lighter.
A little lighter. Ooh, come on now. Come on. Who wants to feel a little lighter today? Amen. The regrets of the past, Jesus says, you don't carry that. Let it be where it is in the past. I've taken care of you. I've provided for you. I'm going to continue to do that. All you that are worried about tomorrow, so don't do it. Let tomorrow be anxious for itself. And so I want to ask you one simple question. What fear, what uncertainty, what is it that you're consumed with right now that you need to just give to God? What is it right now that is so far ahead of you or maybe right next to you tomorrow that you're so concerned and worried about that's still in your joy for today? What is it? Release it to God. How you feeling, Aaron?
Lighter.
Ooh, a little lighter today. Praise God. Praise God. You can do it. He's saying, do it. Cast your cares on me. Cast your worries on Him today. Now, Aaron, there's something, though, that we have that He says that sufficient for today is its trouble, right? So what do we do with today? Well, here's what you all want to do with today. You want to carry it. You want to carry it. But here's what I believe. Let me see it, Aaron. Listen, we can't get rid of today, but you don't have to carry today either. You ready?
Yep.
Good. Come here, Aaron. Come here. Aaron, how free you feel?
Free. Very free.
Free. There's a beautiful image that I believe, like Jesus is telling you. You don't even have to worry about today. Listen, I got you. I'm with you. Like, I'm here with you. You ain't got to carry this anymore. You ain't got to be weighed down by this anymore. And listen, you ready to go?
Yep.
Like, we're going to walk a little. But listen, you ain't got to carry that. Okay. I'm walking with you. I got today. Like, my strength will come upon you. Like, my peace will come upon you. What's the joy? The love, the joy, the peace will come upon you today because you are with me and I am with you today. This is what Jesus offers you. This is the gospel message that you can walk not burdened into your life, but free today in Jesus' name. The simple question is, will you let it? Will you let it? Thank you, Aaron. Thank you. So we want to encourage you. Just stand with us as we come into a time of worship. You can walk in today a lot lighter. You can leave today a lot lighter than what you came in. Would you begin to surrender these things to Him and trust Him for today? I want to encourage you to pray with us this morning. If you need prayer, I'm going to be in the front. We're going to have a prayer team in the back that would love to just encourage you and lift you up in whatever you have going on. You may need a little support today. That's great. To release some of these things. Let's pray over you. Let's see the Lord begin to remove them. Let's pray to Him. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You. And Lord, we thank You so much, God, for what You are doing in this place and in our lives, Lord. Lord, we were never meant to carry the weight of our past. Lord, You have proclaimed that those who put their faith and trust in You, God, that we have been forgiven. But Lord, You are making all things new in us. Lord, may we walk in that newness with a new trust and a new faith. When the enemy tries to bring up our past, Lord, may You crush it to the ground. And Lord, we cannot control tomorrow. We have no idea what tomorrow holds, Lord. But we know that You hold tomorrow. And Lord, as long as You are in tomorrow, Lord, we can trust You with it. Lord, may we release it today. Release the power that is holding on to us. But Lord, today may it become a masterpiece in our life. Lord, may it be a place of which we encounter You and we grow together and we serve others, Lord. May we be consumed by what today could be, Lord. And may we walk in it. All the weight that may come with it, Lord, may You just push aside the enemy. God, and we trust and believe that You are with us today. You are giving us strength and power today, Lord, to do what You would have us do. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. Amen.